Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. Jimmy is back on the beautiful East Coast, living on a gorgeous, gorgeous lake. The guy really, really is living life to the fullest, which I just admire him so much for doing. You live life correctly, and the fullest comes out to you. Jimmy, having said that, speaking of the fullest, let's talk about the emptiest. The market is going in the tank again today. It's down about 3.5%. That's a pretty big number considering the starting number. You want to comment on that?
We're seeing a pretty big decline in the market over the last, you know, few months. And we're going to see, you know, since January, it's having a hard time. Yep. Of course, we're going to see the markets continue to struggle because the reality with inflation, the reality with the policies that are, you know, actually trying to force green, you know, programs on people. Mm-hmm. One of today's big issues was Target's bad earnings and retailers' bad earnings. And of course, you know, a lot of that's the result of people being afraid to buy, but also that, you know, just the imbalance with everything out there. There's a lot of just, people are just worried. There's very little confidence in this administration to run the economy, and they're blaming everything but themselves, but it's their policies that are driving it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the midterms yesterday a little bit about this. You're pretty up on it. I have been sick the last couple of days a little bit, and so I am a bit down, and I need your help, Jimmy. What's going on?
Well, I think, you know, yesterday primaries were interesting. There was, you know, Pennsylvania's been a big one because, you know, Donald Trump had endorsed Mehmet Oz, Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a history of being pretty much kind of a, you know, moderate rhino. And I think the Trump team and advisors had said, hey, this is the guy that can win in the state. My understanding, and I don't know how accurate this is, that Sean Hannity in particular had lobbied for Oz, and Oz had a relationship with Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr. So the problem was Kathy Barnett was a very strong MAGA supporter, a black woman with a, you know, very interesting story of actually being the daughter of an 11-year-old. Her mother was 11-year-old. So a very strong supporter with the current issues going on with the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade, as well as a strong, you know, Trump America First supporter. And, you know, didn't have animosity towards Trump, but was, you know, a little disappointed because it looks like Oz, and he actually is not, it's right now the tie is between he and the McCormick. Yeah. Both of them were somewhat considered, you know, maybe, you know, too globalist, too not on in the Trump camp. So that's an interesting one. It looks like Oz and McCormick may have to go to a recount.
Well, I'm looking at some numbers here. Are these correct? According to the numbers I'm looking at, it's 31.1 for McCormick, 31.3 for Oz. It seems to me that probably would call for a recount.
Yeah, I think the numbers are really, really close. We're just talking a few thousand vote difference. Of course, they're now waiting for the mail-in ballots to be counted, which is incredible. You know, we're just repeating the same mistakes of 2020 right now with this mail-in, you know, everybody's convenience voting.
Yeah.
Which is very, you know, easily manipulated, as was clearly identified in the documentary.
Yeah.
We've got people, you know, out there that are trying to undermine the credibility of True the Votes investigation and the 2000 Mules documentary. And you're seeing it from both sides. You're seeing it from Bill Crisp. You're seeing it from the institutionalists and the people that like the way the system works.
Yeah.
And of course, that's to the benefit of the Democrats, but also to the idealist Republican rhinos. You know, Republicans in name only, that
yeah.
really want to keep power centered in Washington. You had some other you had some great victory, you know, in North Carolina with the Senate candidate that Trump endorsed there. And of course, the governor of Pennsylvania, Trump endorsed the governor there, or the Republican candidate, Trump first candidate, Doug Mastriano, a retired military officer, actually.
Yeah.
Colonel. Those are victories. He lost in Idaho with his endorsement of the lieutenant governor, who was very strongly against some of the policies the governor was, the incumbent governor, was pushing on lockdowns. And she circumvented some issues while he was out of town a few times, got a lot of notoriety, and was a very, you know, strong candidate. But apparently the more, I would say, rhino candidate in Idaho, the incumbent governor, did incredibly well. So it was kind of a mixed bag for America First policies. However, one thing is clear. There is no Joe Biden coattails to be ridden on. There no one's being elected because they're connecting themselves with the current administration. And that's something people ought to, you know, ought to take heart and realize, because, you know, regardless of which rhinos, you know, win in the primaries, the Democrats are going to have a tough time in November, it looks like.
Well, I happen to agree 100% with you, Jimmy. I really don't see how anybody can run on the president's coattails, and I'll be very interested. You know, it's funny. My neighbor was telling me that he has been getting absolute negative, negative is not the word, untruthful emails from Nancy Pelosi regarding information about the Democrats and information about Republicans. We stayed up last night pretty late talking about that. And he said, Al, I spammed all of those emails from Nancy, so I can't even send them to you.
Yeah, you know, this is the problem. Both sides, you know, try to alienate and you know, twist words. But what I see, what my perception is, the amount of emotional attachment on the left to, that created hate is really blinds people to alternative views. Because if they accept an alternative view, then they have to question their own identity. And I think that's the tool and the method that many of the Democratic politicians have used, and some Republican politicians as well. And I am encouraged by the number of independents that have said, you know, I'm not aligned with a party, but they just see the reality of what's happening out there. So they're not being twisted or manipulated. They're not the activists. They don't get Nancy Pelosi's emails. But the willingness of Nancy Pelosi to twist and turn on these arguments that really, you know, if common sense prevails, they will fail. We just have to, you know, we have to question whether or not there's enough disinformation control by individuals to say this is ridiculous. And I do want to comment that it looks like that the Homeland Security has paused the disinformation governance board that was looking like it wanted to be the Ministry of Truth with an absolute wacko they had appointed to be in charge. So it's a good indicator that maybe pushback is beginning to have an impact. Although it would be great to have something like that still on the books for the November election, because you can highlight the attempts to silence free speech. And I think that's important. People need to realize how much the Democrats are trying to twist words and silence people's voices and opinions. And, you know, I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. And you know what? That's what we fought for our entire existence as a nation. We need to continue to fight for it.
Right. I just opened up the messages that Rob Shiraz sent me, and there is a very large posting at the top of these attached messages. It says, you're viewing an attached message. Gmail can't verify the authenticity of attached messages. Nancy Pelosi opens up her email and saying, I've had it. People involved in the Capitol rallies were elected to office. That's interesting.
Well, because their argument, and this is the Pelosi argument, is that they tried to use this legal arguments of insurrection
right.
From the 14th Amendment
right.
to keep people from being able to run from office. And so they're really trying to use the insurrection, the January 6th, as this political tool to frighten the left and their followers, their hardcore supporters, that, you know, there's going to be some turnaround. What they're really facing is a political turnaround, and the level of frustration that people showed on January 6th with trusting this, failing to trust the system, they were fed up and they wanted answers.
Right.
And that's what Nancy's trying to silence. He's trying to keep people from asking those questions. And the more that you ask those questions, the more information that comes out, the more you realize they're attempting to use this as a political tool, and it's not working for them.
Well, she goes on to say, I refuse to let those who desecrated our democracy ever set foot in the halls of Congress again. I need a massive response, 1,048 gifts before my critical deadline to protect our democratic majorities. Save our fundamental freedoms and stop these Republicans from ever holding power in Congress. Can I count on your immediate support? Chip in $5 now. Chip in $15 now. Chip in $25 now. Chip in $100 now. Chip in another amount now. Thank you, Nancy. And at the bottom it says Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. So at the top, Democrat in the House, she's fighting to help working families and protect Americans from the dangerous agenda of Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. We know you're getting a lot of emails, but it's only because what we're facing right now as a country is so important. Nancy is committed to doing whatever it takes to elect a record-breaking number of Democrats in the next election and beyond. Can we count on your support? Nancy isn't one to back down from a fight, and we're in this for the long haul. We hate to see you leave our movement completely, but if you must, please click unsubscribe. Nancy Pelosi for Congress, 713th Street Northwest, Suite 800, Washington, D.C. Paid for by Nancy Pelosi for Congress. It strikes me that these emails, and there's about a dozen of them, it strikes them that they are showing a little bit of desperation. And it strikes me that Nancy Pelosi believes that she has a lot of power, because she would not be going out on the limb like this quite as much as she had if she didn't believe that was the case. Any comments, Jimmy?
Well, I mean, they are desperate. They're looking at the polls. They realize they're in trouble, and they're going to do whatever they can to change it. But I'm going to say,
I think, okay, okay. I believe the Democrats are very, very desperate right now, and I think they're desperate because they made a huge mistake in putting Joe Biden in office, and I don't know what they're going to be able to do to rectify that mistake.
Well, I agree, and I think they are desperate. But I will say this. You know, you can get 1,000 emails a day from the Republicans saying the same things, that the
I know. Yeah.
Radical lefts, you know, I mean, that's pretty routine. The electronic email system for fundraising, it's massive everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of it actually is just paying for the consultants to write the emails, to do the, you know, the policy and the strategy. The corruption and the level of, you know, just the overall system is incredibly, I think Americans are tired of it.
Yeah.
But the Democrats, they're going to use this. They're going to use whatever the January 6th issues. They're going to use the, you know, the individual names. They're trying to. You notice that they didn't talk about Donald Trump. She didn't talk about Donald Trump in that email. She talked about Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. And of course, they've created this image of hate and frustration. And the Republicans have done it with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer as well. The question is, where do you lie on your, as each of us must evaluate, where do we lie on our moral values, on our expectations for our government?
Right.
And if you want more government, you want more control, if you want them to tell you what can be said and what can't be said, then go ahead and vote Democrat. If you want people that are more in tune with allowing free speech, that are more in tune with letting, you know, markets manage themselves, but both sides of them,
right,
the organizations are strong and deep, and that's what we have to break.
I agree.
The centralized ideas inside Washington.
I agree.
And that's the fundamental reason behind Make America Great Again and the I guess I want to say the Trumpian ideologies.
Yeah.
But Trump is not the reason for it. People are fed up with it. Trump is the result of it. We need to be pushing again for better candidates that are actually putting Americans first and not getting caught up in that same cycle of how we control and how we raise money and how the political cycle just keeps spinning. It's a very difficult thing to break, and that's what we're facing right now.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's not so difficult to break that we can't win the elections. Now, so the primaries yesterday didn't really give an accurate perception of the strength of the Democrats versus the Republicans. It'll be the November elections that'll be a pretty good barometer, correct? Yes, of course that's correct.
Well, yeah, I will say there's a little, it did show some weaknesses in some of the areas that typically had, what you look at is the turnout numbers.
Yeah.
And when you count the number of people that actually voted in for a Democrat, you know, in a Democrat only area, or I should say a Democrat only primary and a Republican only primary, you know, if you've got a Democratic area, say a congressional district that's primarily mostly Democrat, and you have a low turnout, but the Democratic incumbent wins that race or maybe gets turned over by a more progressive, then that's an indicator. And you look at the Republicans and the number of people that turn out in that same district.
Right.
In a lot of cases, Republicans actually had very strong turnout in Democratic strongholds for their candidate. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win, but it shows a level of frustration.
Right.
And
that's, of course, that's what I meant. But I'm saying I'm waiting with bated breath for November, Jimmy. There's no question about that. Hey, I would appreciate if some of the local listeners to Jimmy's and my editorials every morning would step up and volunteer along with myself and to election observers, voting observers in November. Give me a hand, will you guys? And you know who you are, who I'm talking to. Jimmy, thank you so much.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.